Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. Lance is out. So far, it's me and it's going to be me and Dell. How you like that, Dell? Just me and you, buddy. Just two buddies sitting around talking.
I don't like the fact that you start off the week with a lie. I mean, not that Lance won't be here. I don't know. I guess he won't, but we're not buddies.
Me and you, pals.
No, I mean,
out all weekend together.
That's not true.
Ate some popcorn, watch the games.
Why would we eat popcorn and watch the games? Aren't you a wing guy?
I'm a wing guy, but I mean, when I made you some popcorn, put some M&Ms in there.
No,
yeah,
I'm not a date, and you're not taking me to see Jaws. I'm sure that's a movie you took a girl to. No,
I didn't take a girl.
You sure?
To see Jaws.
Wasn't Jaws right around the time you were taking girls to the movies?
No, probably not.
When did Jaws come out?
I don't know. It's a little ahead of my. Yeah, no. Jaws was. I don't think I was too scared to see Jaws. By the way, a little bit later in the show, I have the list of the scariest movies of all time. Okay? That's for later in the show.
Okay. Sure. Right? Okay.
And yeah. You're a scary movie guy, though.
No, you hate him. I love him. But
I hate him.
I love him. I mean, we're not buddies, but I'm sure you felt pretty good about me. I mean, you sent a text. Oh, look, Dale's finally paying off because the two games I gave you came through easily.
Oh, guess what happened? Winner, winner, and a chicken dinner. That's what happened. That's right. Two winners. Dell gave me Alabama, and what was the other one you gave me?
I gave you Syracuse getting beat by 40-whatever points.
Yeah. It's a six-point game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and Dabo, I mean, we got other stuff to get to, but people are like, hey, Dabo, your team didn't seem like they played with much energy, because that's what Trevor Lawrence said previously, and Dabo's like, did my team win? We won by 20 points. Dabo, everyone saw what was going on. It was 27-21, like midway through the third quarter. Syracuse had the ball. We all saw that. It wasn't just some 20-point blowout the whole game.
Well, they have one of these every year, don't they?
Yeah. Usually they come down to the wire. Fortunately for them, they got a scoop and score on a fumble, and then they kind of ran away from Syracuse. But Syracuse is really bad, and they were in a dogfight for three quarters, and then they figured it out. But, two winners for me, for John. So I guess he feels good.
I feel good about, I feel better about you than I have. At least you're paying off, being a jerk and paying off. That's all. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to be a jerk,
I'm not a jerk.
I much prefer that you pay off.
I'm not a jerk.
No, you kind of are.
I'm tired, man. I need a bye week.
No kidding. You know what? Okay, let me ask. I'm going to pose this question. And I'm going to pose this question to everybody. And y'all can get in. Lance is in here today, so you're all more than welcome. This is a show, open forum, whatever you guys want to talk about. If you don't want to talk about, all the games this weekend, I don't know. I haven't seen a better Game 5 2017 was a better game. But other than that, I don't remember a better World Series game. Not in a while. I know Game 6, 2011, I think that was the Rangers game, Cardinals, right? That was a pretty good game, right? That was a Lance Berkman game. Lance Berkman was unbelievable. And then Nelson Cruz blew it I don't want to catch this ball because I'm scared. So that was a pretty good baseball game. But the game Saturday, did you watch any of it?
Baseball, John, during college football season, knock it off. I saw what happened, but I wasn't going pitch for pitch.
It was seven straight half innings of a run, which was a record. Seven straight half innings where a run was scored. So it was a good game. It was a really good game. And I'm a Dodger hater. I can't stand them. I can't stand the Dodgers.
Yeah, I watched yesterday at the end of the game as the Dodgers were going up 3-2, and I was like, ugh, I don't want the Dodgers winning the World Series. Like, no. I hate all their faces. I mean, Mookie Betts, I don't like him because he was a cheater in Boston, and people pretend like he wasn't part of that. And everyone, and just Bellinger running in to make the final out. I was like, ugh, well, I hate the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and his face, his Bellinger face, shut up. I mean, I just want him to shut up. I just can't stand him. Anyway, so I watched the whole, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say the whole game. I didn't watch the whole game, but I picked it up about in the fifth inning the other night on Saturday. And then I didn't watch a pitch last night. Not a pitch. Didn't care. Did not care because I knew the Dodgers were going to win. So anyway, that was an unbelievable game. But last night's, did you watch any Arizona and Seattle?
Yeah, that game upset me for multiple reasons. I didn't have any money on it. It wasn't that. I was just like, Cliff, what are you doing, man? You rip off a long run from Edmonds. You get another run from Edmonds. And then Kyler breaks off maybe a 4 or 5 yard run. And now you're trying to get it to the correct hash for your kicker for a 40 something yard field goal. Run the ball some more.
Yeah, he had time.
Yeah, keep running the football. They can't stop you.
Well, I'll tell you this, when they got the ball back with 57 seconds,
that was good.
They were down 3 in regulation and they drove it down. They had 3 runs. I mean, and they didn't have a timeout. It was unbelievable how good they were. You're right. I mean, Chase Edmonds, I'm watching that. I'm watching Chase Edmonds, and I'm going, are you kidding me? And Carlos Hyde on the other side. I mean, Carlos Hyde is just – that just is a killer. Just watching those guys run the football and watching the Texans run the football when they're paying this guy over $10 million, it's just so stupid. I mean, okay, so here's the question. Which would you take away? The Astros cheating scandal or the entire Bill O'Brien reign? Now, let's not forget, in that reign, you got rid of Dwayne Brown. You got rid of Jadeveon Clowney. You got Kuncel and gave up all those picks. You got rid of DeAndre Hopkins. You could undo all of that, or you could undo the Astros cheating scandal.
What do you mean? You mean they still won the World Series, but the scandal goes away?
Yeah, but the scandal goes away.
Bill O'Brien has set the team back. You get rid of the scandal is embarrassing, but it hasn't particularly hurt your on-field success. And if you can ride with being the bad guy, then what's the scandal mean other than you get to fight on Twitter with other fans?
Well, but it is embarrassing for your organization. It does. It has taken away something from them.
Sure.
It's tainted.
And the Patriots
and
got over
and
it.
And that's your organization, and you love the team, and you don't want them to have cheated. You don't want them to be hated. That was one of the most beloved teams. Now it's just ignored in the annals of history.
That's fine, but in your heart, I mean, sure, it sucks a little bit, but if you're a fan of the team, you're like, hey, we still won that World Series, and you take on – you take on the approach that screw everyone else. You have to become Pat fan to rationalize what happened and say, we would have won anyway. Sure, we cheated, but we're still a good baseball team. And this past season, at least this postseason, proved it. Bill O'Brien has set your franchise back. How long? How far? That's the question. If you tell me you hire a GM and things are not rolling, but back to normal in a year or so, I feel good about it. But do you trust this organization to hire the right people? So I'm taking remove the Bill O'Brien reign.
Here's the thing is, Bill, like you said, listen, it's going to take longer than a couple of years. It could, I don't know what it's going to take, but it's going to take a little while to get rid of all the stench of Bill O'Brien. Watching Dwayne Brown protect Russell Wilson last night, it was unbelievable. I mean, he's just so good. The fact that you did all of this, you had the guy in place. It's all you had to do was pay him some money. I mean, goodness great. And then you go and you give the biggest contract in the world to a guy that holds in the biggest situation on the field yesterday. I mean, you got to be kidding. I mean, just the whole – and then and 2 number ones and a number 2. My goodness. I mean, you can't have asked for a and but meanwhile, Trent Brown is out there. There's all kinds of guys out there that you could have just picked. There were all kinds of running backs out there that you could have just that would be so much better than David Johnson right now. There's so many guys out there that you could have just grabbed. I mean, it's just ridiculous, ridiculous the moves that this team, this organization has made. That said, you can get the stench off of Bill O'Brien stench off in just a couple of years. This team is the 1919 Black Sox. This team is going to forever be the cheating team.
And that's only because baseball has some approach that they're a sainted game and everything's sacred. Like, the Patriots cheated, and
yeah, but
we call them
not
cheaters.
Nearly as egregious in anyone's mind as what the
well, because it's, first of all, it's baseball. Baseball, for whatever reason, feels like their game can't be tarnished when it's all about being – the whole thing has been tarnished in history. You can go back – even forget about the 1919 Black Sox who, you know, threw a World Series. Just individual players or teams themselves, and then it's always laughed off. Oh, he scuffed the baseball, or he's got pine tar in this spot. Whatever. That's gamesmanship. If he gets caught, so be it. But you know what? That's kind of what we do here. But this one, you cross the line, this imaginary line that we drew in the sand, so this is awful. Whatever. I get if you're baseball and you hold it sacred, then I guess this one is the worst one. But your team wasn't adversely affected on the field per se. What Bill O'Brien has done has crippled the franchise for how long? That'll be determined. I am taking the Bill O'Brien reign as the one to get removed.
No, I don't know which one I would take. There's a little ache in my heart for the Astros that. It just isn't. I just don't feel nearly. I mean, just love that team, and I want that stain to go away. I think you can get out of the Bill. Somebody smart can come in here and then get out of the Bill O'Brien deal in just a couple of years. That's never ever going away. Ever going away? What the Astros did. So I think I'm going to take the Astros. Anybody else? You're more than welcome to get in. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, I'm talking about my bookie, mybookie.ag promo code radio. It's where Dell told me to play the Alabama game, and he told me to play Syracuse. Oh, guess where I won? On mybookie.ag promo code radio. And if I wanted to draw those funds out right now, I could, because you can get your money out of there whenever you want. I'm going to stay, and I'm going to keep on playing them. That's right. I'm going to keep on playing because I enjoy it's so much fun. And it's so easy to navigate. They've changed it up since we've been on, and we've been on here for a few years now. Since we've gotten on, it's so much easier to navigate this. It's so easy to bet. I mean, you can, if you've never been on a website betting before, you used to call your bookie or whatever. I don't know how you did it, but whatever you, or if you've never even, you know, made a bet before, here's the deal. It's very simple. You deposit your money, and then you navigate, and you find the games that you want, and bing, 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 you're playing, you're winning, you're getting paid, and they'll double your initial deposit. At mybookie.ag promo code radio, mybookie.ag promo code radio.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Me and Dell this morning here on the show, 713-780-3776. Did anybody have a better weekend and now kind of a disgusting weekend, Dell, than Graham Mertz?
Yeah, if you don't know who Graham Mertz is, he's the starting quarterback for Wisconsin. Wisconsin kicked off Big Ten football. By the way, that's back. If you had the Big Ten Network, you saw that. He was great, only had one incompletion. Now, he was the backup coming into camp because their veteran, Jack Cohn, was the guy, and then he got hurt. So Wisconsin's most highly rated quarterback, at least quarterback recruit, came in and played great. And now
he was humble. He was four at halftime. He 14 for 14 with three touchdown passes more.
Yeah, he wasn't the only Big Ten quarterback to do something like that. Justin Fields had a day like that too. His only incompletion was a drop in the end zone after a hard hit on the receiver. But back to Graham Mertz. Great day. Wisconsin rolling, looking like that pass offense might be a big deal this year, and he tests positive for COVID on Saturday.
Yeah.
Which the Big Ten is more penal, as you like to say, than other places, because if you test positive in the Big Ten and it's confirmed, you're out 21 days. Not until you're cleared, not a multiple negative test. They will knock you out of competition for 3 weeks. So, and without a bye, that means Wisconsin will play their next three games without their without their top two quarterbacks.
That is just terrible. I mean, and he looks great. Wisconsin, okay, so who are there? Let's take a look at their games. Gosh, that is terrible.
Now, they have to confirm it because he got the antigen test, part of their daily testing. That one's a less reliable test, and that was a positive. Now, they had to confirm it with the PCR test, this is the one they take into account, which is because it's the one that locks you in as far as positive or negative. I don't know if we have the results yet. Wisconsin probably knows. But, yeah, he could be done for 3 weeks. And Wisconsin, I think, has Penn State on the schedule, which looks a little not as tough as it did before the year.
Well,
but they got Nebraska, too, I think.
But couldn't he actually come back so 21 days would put him at Michigan. You missed two games.
Yeah,
whole week leading up. You got the next week and the next week, and you could play the following game.
He just wouldn't have practiced that week, but I guess if you're the starting quarterback, you just find a way to get him back in the lineup.
The Titans practice. You'll find a way. We're talking about practice.
Yeah, coming up, they have Nebraska, which for a half looked okay against Iowa State. Then it fell apart for them. Purdue, who beat Iowa without Rondale Moore, which is a good win for Purdue. And then the top, all of a sudden, well, Michigan's always pretty good, but Michigan looked good Saturday night against Minnesota with their young quarterback, Joe Milton. That would be the game he'd come back for. And it would be a game where he doesn't practice at all for 3 weeks because he can't be around the team, clearly. He has to be in isolation for 3 weeks. He just can't be in part of football for 3 weeks. And then he'd be back for Michigan. On the road.
Yeah. And Michigan is a 13 right now.
Yeah.
They look pretty good. Very interesting to see what Nebraska did quarterback wise.
Yeah, they had
Martinez and McCaffrey.
Yeah, it gave Ohio State some trouble, and they were talking about on the broadcast Joel Klatt with Gus Johnson. And Joel Klatt said, "We did a lot of Ohio State games last year, and the defensive coordinator we talked to, now the head coach at BC, Jeff Hadley, said, hey, the way we are set up defensively, running quarterbacks will give us issues." And Nebraska put two of them back there at times. And it gave some issues for a half. But the problem with that plan was, well, you still have to play defense. And they had no answers for Ohio State defensively.
Good to have the Big Ten back. And the Pac-12 will be here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
They're coming in slow.
I said I was wrong last week. The Mountain West is back, too. They came back on Saturday as well. So if you're into watching college football games at midnight Central, you got your opportunity now because the Mountain West is back. And I think UNLV and San Diego State was going on at like after midnight here. So, yeah, we're almost at a full slate of games. then we just wait for the Pac-12 November 7th, I think.
Yeah, not surprisingly, Oregon had to shut down their school.
For five days, yeah.
All right, 713-780-3776. Who we got? Who gets,
Matt,
wants to get in here?
Wants to talk Matt. Texans.
Matt, let's go. Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, guys. Hey, I wanted to get on about your question earlier when you said that which rather you forget about the Bill O'Brien or the Astros. Now, I'm taking my championship and I'm riding with them, man. I got a ton of New York and L.A. friends, so I'd rather, talk to them about that. I'm keeping it. Now, what I would get rid of is this whole Bill O'Brien era, man. I just believe this guy screwed up our whole organization and our future as far as what we could have had and what we had, man. If you think about it, look at Dwayne Brown did awesome last night. Man, the most recent, DeAndre Hopkins had, 10 receptions and went off last night while Kyler Murray's smiling at the man. He let the Honey Badger go. He won a championship. He looked good last night or yesterday. I think he got a pick. You just start up Jadeveon Clowney, man. He is a great complimentary pass rusher from J.J. Watt. And real quick, as far as J.J. Watt, man, I love him to death. I love everything he did for us. I just think it, to us, helped build our future. What about considering trading J.J. Watt? I don't know if he's still first-round pick caliber, maybe get a couple second-round picks or something like that. What do you guys think about that? And also, the bet, my bookie, 5-game parlay, won me good last night, baby. Y'all have a good one.
Nice. Nice. I'd love to hear that. Love that. Nice 5-game parlay. That ain't easy. There's nothing easy about getting hitting a 5-teamer. JJ will probably, I've gotten so many texts and tweets and, hey, what about JJ for a first? What about JJ for this? What about JJ for that? I think at most you're probably going to get a late second because no team that's going to get him is going to, no team that's bad is going to want to, trade away one of their draft picks for an aging lineman who's got a year left at $17 million next year. And somebody said, well, at that, you're going to have to take some of that money. $17 million for J.J. Watt is not a lot of money. Dude is still, he's still one of the top defensive linemen in the game. And he's $17 million is not crazy money for him. It's actually, it's about right where J.J. Watt should be. So I don't think that's the money is a problem. If a team has got some cap space, now they got to be a team that's contending and they got to have some cap space to come and get them. But you're not giving up more than a second-round pick for J.J. And somebody was like, J.J. and their best corner and a second and a two-second. Oh, my goodness. No chance. No chance. See, we're so used to Bill O'Brien trades that you give up two firsts and a second for guys that are good, not great. I mean, we're just so used to doing that crap that it's like, yeah, we can get two firsts and no. Bill O'Brien ain't here no more. Giving up first.
And you're not trading to a guy who like Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
So J.J. played well. I mean, as much as you can when you give up that many points. But you saw him make multiple impact plays in the run game. You're probably right. I don't know what contending team. Everyone needs help. But the Ravens, who like to just scoop up every available lineman, I imagine they don't need him. So you start looking down the list of teams and – I mean, the team that was here is the natural fit, right? Everyone says, send them home. I think you didn't say specifically about the Packers, but you tweeted out, J.J. needs to get out of here. Yeah. They should do him a favor and let him, something along those lines, play for a contender.
Free J.J.
Yeah. So the Packers seem like a fit, although I don't know. They may feel okay about their defensive front. You just have to look at teams who feel like they're weak.
They played the Texans.
No, I mean, but I know they're 5-1 overall, right? Or 6-1, yeah. Whatever they are. 5-1. So they may feel overall how they played so far that their defensive line is okay because they've actually invested recently in free agency with those guys. So maybe they don't want to add more resources to that.
They're an average defense. They're 20th in the league in points against. So I think they understand what they are. A buddy of mine said, yes, oh, man, from Green Bay. He was like, hey, man, Deshaun's going to have a huge day today. And I was like, I don't know, dude. I don't know. He said, no, the Packers' defense is not good. It's just not good. And, Tom Brady ate him up. They just look like – man, you look like crap one – see, that's the difference. You look like crap one week elsewhere, and, boy, it's like hell is raining down. I know it's a little over the top in Green Bay. I was there for 3 years. It's over the top. Every game is just life and death. And if they win, they're great. If they lose, they suck. And it's just like that's the only thing that they have to live for up there. And I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. I mean, I just couldn't wait to get out of there. But we're the exact opposite. It's just like, oh, all right, Bill O'Brien, go ahead. You know what? Somebody pour out up. Oh, yeah, look at Ben Jones is still playing for the Titans and playing well. And Brandon Brooks, you know, because he was such an a-hole, Brandon Brooks couldn't wait to get out of here. And now he turns into an all-pro and he wins a Super Bowl. I mean, there are so many moves that Bill O'Brien has made that you're just like, oh, my gosh. You forget about, oh, yeah, that's right. You could have Brandon Brooks instead of Senio Kalamete, who's playing
for your draft pick, Max Sharping.
Who couldn't play. I mean, it's every position. He's affected every position negatively on this team, including the quarterback. Deshaun is not – somebody said, hey, what about to train him to the Chargers? Give him Deshaun, and what do you get? You can get their best corner, you can get Herbert, and you can get a first-round pick. I was like,
why would the Chargers trade as much as everyone's like, Justin Herbert's in your head. Why would they trade a quarterback who's playing well, who's cheap?
Yeah. I mean,
why would they do that?
I guess we're seeing, I didn't think it was possible. I did not think it was possible for this team to be 1-6 with a healthy Deshaun. I did not think that.
You know, while that game was going on and I was flipping back and forth because, you know, other things were more interesting, as, you know, there are a lot of games going down to the wire, I was looking around the league and thinking to myself, I mean, Matt Ryan is 1-6 now. Now he's older, but we talk about guys who are supposed to be franchise elevators, whether they were elite quarterbacks or are elite quarterbacks. How many of those guys exist that can be the quarterback of a team and be healthy and their team be so bad around them that they're 1-6? Now, Ryan's older, but I wouldn't say his play is contributing to 1-6. He's one.
He's one. He's an MVP.
Yeah. Deshaun's another one. I can't – that's how bad – and the Falcons lose in the most impossible ways every week, so that's almost like an outlier. You don't even – you can't even really explain the Falcons.
But no.
As far as, let's put it, quote-unquote, normal football teams, the Texans are the only one who have an alleged very good to elite quarterback and can still go 1-6 and not be competitive in a lot of games.
No.
How many games have they been competitive in? Two this year?
Good Lord. No, they were not competitive yesterday. That was embarrassing. That was embarrassing to watch Aaron Rodgers just tear them up the way that he tore them up. And their corner. Oh my God, Eric Murray. Listen. This is we're on the other side. Anthony Weaver. Holy crap, dude! Jonathan Vilma is. It's as they're lining up. They're lining up, and Jonathan Vilma goes, well, I wouldn't do this. Put these two guys on the line of scrimmage against Davante Adams, and I think, I don't know if it was Scantling or whoever it was, Valdez Scantling, whoever it was, on the other, he goes, I wouldn't do this. This is the first thing I'd change, is get these guys off the line of scrimmage and get them some help. Eric Murray has got Davante Adams one-on-one on a third down. Are you kidding me?
And the Packers talked about it after the game about, well, we kind of saw what they did in, you know, on film, and what we did in practice just worked really well. I mean, what they showed us throughout the weeks pretty much is what we saw on game day, and we attacked them because this is what they like to do, and we expected everything they threw at us.
Oh my gosh, I have thought, you know, Anthony Weaver, you just don't have good players. You're not putting him in a position, bro. You're just not putting him in position. You can't do what you did. You can't have Eric Murray one-on-one with the Davante Adams in press coverage. You just can't do that. That's just – that doesn't – there is nothing when you're thinking about – let me look at this and assess this situation, and let's come up with a game plan that is what you thought was an effective way to go about stopping the Packers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I'm surprised he didn't just look over and just start laughing and go, oh, I'm going to throw at you, 2-3. Hey, if he would have pointed at him and said, I'm throwing at you, 2-3, Justin Reed still wouldn't have moved from the other side of the field. Justin Reed is on the other side covering the left side when Davante Adams is one-on-one with Eric Murray. Are you kidding me? This is what you've been teaching? This is how these guys are getting coached up? Really? Wow. 7:30 ESPN, 97.5. Chastain Ford. We're talking about Chastain. We're talking about Chastain Ford. That's right. I'm talking about ChastainFord.com. I'm talking about Chastain at home is what they're calling it. It's ChastainFord.com, and you go through the entire website, and you go, I like this, I like that, I like this. So you customize your payments. You value your trade. You get pre-approved. You schedule a test drive, and then you get that car delivered at home, or you can go up to the store. You don't have to go to the store, though, to buy online. And that is something that is just ridiculous because other dealerships won't do that. They make you go in because they have to upsell you. They have to give you the upgrade in leather, or they have to put in, they have to tint the windows, or whatever it is that they do. And by the time it's all said and done, you're spending another $3,000, and you say, that's not what I wanted. This is what I wanted. But they've got everything you could possibly need. New inventory, used inventory. They've got everything. The 2021 Bronco Sport is just beautiful. And the Bronco as well. If you haven't seen these cars, holy cow. And you can get them right now. They've got them in stock at Chastain Ford. The F-150s, the F-250s, the XLTs are on sale right now. It's just ridiculous how low you can go right now at Chastain Ford. We're talking about $29,999 for an F-150 STX. It's ridiculously low. Or $499 a month and nothing down. All at Chastain Ford. It's at 610 on Homestead, not Homestead, just 5 minutes from downtown. They will beat the price. And then the service is second to none at Chastain Ford.
ESPN. 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's just seeing, you know, some of the things that we have drawn up, some of the things that Matt and the rest of the coaching staff come up with based off of the personnel we're going against and how they like to play, you know, other people. And then you got to kind of look at how they're going to play us because it's no secret that, you know, playing against Aaron and I is a little bit different than, you know, just playing against whoever week in and week out, whether that's just the way we do things differently or at a higher level. So, you know, getting things dialed up for us is big you know, getting a lot of those plays run throughout the week is huge because it's one thing to feel great about a play on Thursday or Friday. But once you get out there and it looks the exact same way that you drew it up and, you know, you get the coverage that you wanted and all that, you know, that's when you're in a really good spot.
That's Davante Adams. You think he had a game, Dell, or no?
I mean, everyone watched what he did. Yeah, he was pretty good. Whether it be down the field.
He feels pretty good about himself today.
I mean, I don't know if he feels good about it initially. He may have to go back and watch the film to see how well he played. He may not feel it. I mean, scoring all those touchdowns and running through secondaries. He may not know it right away.
13 catches, 190. He knows it right away.
You sure?
13 catches, 196 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He's probably pissed he didn't get the 200 yards.
Might be a little upset.
That might be the only thing. 4 more yards, and he could have had 200. I mean, and you got Eric Murray on him. Holy cow. And Philip Gaines. And, I mean, you're not giving him any help. I mean, that – it was just Philip Gaines on him, and he just runs across the field. And they clear out the left side. He comes from the right, just drags across the field, and he's just wide open. I mean, it's not like they invented the game. It's not like, wow, this is this foreign thing, this foreign pass, this forward pass. Wow.
You know what it looked like? It looked like what Michigan looks like every time they play Ohio State.
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to run him across the field on drags, and you're not going to be able to keep up with him. Or because you love to stay in man. That's what you love to do, Anthony Weaver slash Don Brown, even though you're outmatched. So we're just going to isolate our best guys on your less talented guys and run away from them over and over again. And that's what it looked like. I mean, there was one play. I don't know if it was early in the game. I don't remember exactly, but Zach Cunningham came on a blitz. Aaron Rodgers just shuffled away from him.
Yep.
Threw a ball a little bit behind Adams. He caught it, ran for a first down.
Yep.
And it was like, okay, that's how this game's going to go. You had Anthony Weaver, Anthony Weaver had a play dialed up. If your, you know, highly paid linebacker makes the play, you're off the field. He misses the tackle, and Adams goes along his merry way.
Yeah. Let's check in on Whitney Mercilus. Speaking of highly paid.
Well, he had a sack until it was taken away from him because of a hands to the face, John.
Right. He chased him down from behind and got a sack. But that didn't count. You know why?
Hands to the face.
Yeah, hands to the face. Yeah, so that was taken away. Let's take a look at his half a tackle yesterday. Ah, he earned that 54. He earned that $54 million contract. Mm. Half a tackle.
No quarterback hits.
You want to talk about an impact player. Holy crap. Shoot, Kyle Emmanuel had a bigger game, who I never heard of. Kyle Emmanuel had a big North Dakota State linebacker. He had a bigger game. He was in on more plays. He's Dell, meet Kyle Emmanuel.
Yeah, but does he play a fake guitar like Whitney does?
Well, that's it, you know, and that's not getting old.
The Rock Boys.
The Rock Boys, yeah, they were rocking before the game. I don't know, did you see the video of them?
Yeah, Raheel tweeted it, and you said weak. You saw it and said weak. Yeah, it was Deshaun and Whitney Mercilus. I think Lonnie Johnson came over there as well as they were doing their pregame stuff to get themselves ready. You know, just a little excitement in the game before the game.
They're being rock boys, Dell.
Well, who doesn't love playing air guitar, John?
Who doesn't? Everybody loves an air guitar.
I mean, I never played it. I mean, I played sports, certainly not at this level. I never did it after anything I've done. I mean, I played it at home when the music was playing, but maybe Bon Jovi was on in the stadium before the game. I don't know. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, you got to get some Deshaun sound ready. I want to tell you, I've never heard JJ so excited after a game. Holy cow. Well, how about Deshaun? He needs a little bit of rest. Deshaun's got to be tired.
Well, yeah. He explained it. His initial thing was tired. And then people are like, what do you mean you're tired? And then he went on to explain all the things that are weighing on him. John, I mean, he's a starting quarterback for a 1-6 team. He's tired.
Yeah, he got to be tired. Well, can play... Let's get some sound from him.
I got it. Look, can hear why Deshaun's tired.
Yeah, let's hear Deshaun being tired.
That's a lot. I mean, it's everything. It's from COVID to coaching change to losses to success to
what success?
Family. I mean, just everything. So it's a good time for me to be able to kind of decompress this bye week, figure out, you know, the second half of the season, the body and mind, and just find some time and then come back to work and, you know, just try to finish it off as strong as possible. So that's what I'm definitely going to do for sure.
Now, in fairness to Deshaun, he had the greatest game ever last week in a loss. He had the greatest quarterback performance ever in a loss against the Titans. So, you know, that's awfully – that's got to be – and that's hard to believe because I'm sure there have been some shootouts, some great shootouts.
Mm-hmm.
And the team has lost. But that was what they claimed before the game yesterday, is that Deshaun had the greatest game ever.
That's not an official stat? That is just what the Texans said?
I don't know.
I thought that was an official stat.
Yeah, somebody's thrown for 3 touchdowns and 300
and 4
yards
touchdowns.
And whatever it was.
He threw for 335, 4 TDs. Greg Bailey, who Art hates, says Deshaun Watson, 5th straight game with a passer rating over 100, franchise record. So he has not played poorly the last 5 weeks. It just hasn't mattered very much.
No. And that's the key. That's the killer for me, is that you've got Deshaun Watson, and he's playing some pretty good football, and yet you're still 1-6. That is unbelievable. That tells you about this roster. That tells you where this roster is. That tells you exactly how piss poor, what a piss poor job they've all done. And they have done the worst job. That it was the worst GMing in the history of the game. It was the worst GMing in the – who was it sent out a – oh, Bill Barnwell sent out the tweet last night. He said, I don't know that it's the worst trade – he's watching DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know that it's the worst trade that I've ever seen, but I can't name other trades that are worse.
Nope.
Something to that
nothing
effect.
Nothing awful. Nothing yeah. That awful comes to mind.
Right, right. And oh, by the way, just – did you didn't see the Cardinals and Seahawks?
I did see it.
You saw it?
Yes.
I mean, you know what? I was just like, I was excited, and I don't even care about this. I got a buddy that's working for the Seahawks, and, well, we like Cliff. Cliff was on the show all the time every week for years, so we like Cliff. But watching those two teams play football, it was like, that's a different world.
It
is. That is a different world. And look how fast Arizona did it. They draft Josh Rosen. They win two or three games, whatever they won.
One, I think. I don't know. But
one or two. One or two, and they get the first pick, and they choose another quarterback because they said, nah. Okay, and they get a coach that won five games with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it was not just, you know, drafting Kyler after that. It was getting rid of a head coach you just hired. I mean, Steve Wilks was only there for a year. I think they won three games his first year there, and they're like, nope, we're blowing this entire thing up. We were wrong on our initial approach. We got to get out of this. And they did. And all of a sudden, Cliff has won as many games as he did all of last year at 5-2.
Yep. How about that? They're 5-2 right now. And look at the time it's taken them to turn that around. That's why I've got hope for the Texans.
Because you have your quarterback, so that was the hardest part. I mean, it took them two tries to find their guy, and they found him. Now, unfortunately for the Texans, you have people in place that have to hire the guys who have to build the team. I mean, because the Deshaun thing is hard to find quarterback, but all it takes is one pick, and if you make the right choice, you're good. And they did. Now they had to trade up to get him. But they made it, and they found a way. By the way, that was like now three GMs ago. It was three GMs ago that they made that pick with Rick Smith. Now you have to go hire another GM and trust Cal and Jack Easterby to do that. And then you have to trust them to hire the right coach.
Yeah, I can't trust them. I'm not sure Cal even knows what the record is. Metro, don't trust you. I'm going to shoot you. I'm not even sure Kel knows what their record is.
Him? At 1-6.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure.
If you're Kel, you're like, okay.
It was his birthday this week.
See that. It's Kel's birthday. Happy birthday to D. Cal McNair.
Oh, my God. They had to put out a birthday tweet for him. And
that's what I don't get, because social media is for, you know, the fans of the team. You think the fans care that it's Cal's birthday?
No.
Then why are you telling us? We don't care.
No, but they have to, because that's
the
owner.
Who has to? Just send an email. Just send an inter-office email. A memo.
Why don't they? No, we're proud. We love our
Cal. Does Cal follow the Texans on social media?
We love our Cal. I'm not sure Cal knows how to get
on. I don't see. You're portraying him as, to be kind, a doofus. I don't think he's a doofus. I just don't think he cares about social media.
744 ESPN 97.5. Those are your words, not mine. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, I got a question for you on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 7378037776, 7378037776. Would you trade Deshaun right now for Kyler?
I don't think so. No, I wouldn't do that. I mean, he has the stink of all these losses on him, but we just went through the numbers. Would Kyler Murray be playing better with the Texans than Deshaun is right now?
No.
Now, Kyler's cheaper if you're taking that into account, that you don't have to work around his salary number for the next couple of years. That's an added benefit of having Kyler.
That is definitely a benefit.
But I'm looking at the numbers.
Do you think the Cardinals would trade Kyler for
No one's ever going to trade their guy. No, if their guy's playing well, no, the Cardinals aren't going to trade because they have the benefit of the cheap quarterback who's playing well. They're not going to do it either. But I don't think Kyler's transforming this team into a good team, the current team that the Texans have.
No.
And then, look, let's say you get everything that Kyler brings. He's going to play well here, and you have him on the cheap for the next couple years. That still takes into account – that still, I mean, puts the onus on decision-makers in the front office to build a team around Kyler when you have the benefit of not having to pay him very much. So, no, I wouldn't do it because Kyler's not changing this franchise.
No, but he is going to be a lot cheaper. That would be – and you know what? Kyler has – now, it's not like Deshaun hasn't won. It's not like Deshaun hasn't won. They've won games with Deshaun, and they won 9 straight games or whatever they did. You know, they've won. They've gotten to the playoffs. They've won division titles. They've done all of those things. But and then you get to the postseason and you lay an egg. He's just so exciting, man. Watching that last night, he was so exciting. Goodness gracious. And where is the excitement with Deshaun?
You don't think they could put Deshaun in that Kingsbury offense and he would be exciting?
I think
he's not a quick little fella, but he's like Kyler, but he's not wee throwing the football.
But here's the deal is Deshaun has turned into I'm not a runner, I'm a pocket passer. I'm an NFL quarterback, and that's what I'm. He has gone full Cordell Stewart.
You're being a little disrespectful.
No, he's gone full Cordell Stewart in that I have to prove to everyone I know I'm a black quarterback and I'm athletic and I can run and all of those things, but I've got to prove to everyone that I'm a pocket passer in the NFL.
Now, Deshaun had made a couple plays on his feet during scrambles, and that's still always going to be part of his game, just his ability to avoid sacks. But how many design runs were called?
Maybe one of those was a designed run, maybe. How many designed runs did Kyler have last night?
Well, it's part of the game plan.
Yeah, it's part of the game plan.
So it's do you think Deshaun because, with you know what? Tim Kelly?
And I love that out of Cliff is that you know what? We've got a weapon. Let's use it. The Texans? Nah.
Well, Kyler doesn't take hits. I don't know. He gets down. He doesn't avoid. He just avoids the big hit.
Deshaun's been better about that too lately, though.
So would Deshaun have gone to Cliff Kingsbury if he was here, or if Deshaun was in Arizona and said, no, I'm not going to run. You're going to have to find other ways to manufacture yards because I'm not running. Would he have done that? Have done that in Arizona?
No, I don't think Deshaun would do that. I think Deshaun would. I think if they asked Deshaun to run the football, he'd run the football.
Yeah. So I mean, we can talk about what he wants to do, and honestly, long term for Deshaun's health, for the health of this franchise, he should become a guy who gets the ball out quickly. Lance talked about it yesterday about how, sure, the splash plays are cool when he's breaking tackles, but he's at his best when he's getting the ball out of his hands. But for the long term health of him and this team, he needs to be that guy consistently. But if they decided, you know what, well, it would help this offense quite a bit if we designed 4 or 5 runs a game for him, I think he'd do it. I think he would.
I think so. We don't know. I think so. I don't know. We don't know, though. He might. Who knows? Maybe part of the game plan is that Deshaun's like, hey, no, I ain't getting killed again this year. You know what? We don't know.
That's true.
So I don't know. All I know is that it's not as part. Listen, it's a huge part of Buffalo and Josh Allen. They run a bunch of predetermined runs.
And we're talking about two guys in Allen and Murr who don't have, they don't have 2 ACL injuries on their resume. So if you're Deshaun Watson, like, now, His first one, I don't remember how he got hurt in Clemson. I don't remember. He might have been in the pocket. I don't remember. We don't remember exactly what had happened. We just know he went to a practice and he was done. But we assume it might have happened in the game before against Seattle. Maybe if that's on his mind, look, I'm a guy who's already suffered two ACLs. I don't want to be out there as much as, you know, guys who don't have the injury concern. I could see that, but we don't know. This is all guesswork right now.
Yeah. No. But I will say this, man. It is just, hey, listen, even if Deshaun does run, there ain't nobody running like Kyler Murray. It is amazing how quick that dude is.
Yeah, he's a different level. We had this talk before when it was just last year before the Deshaun Lamar Jackson game. But we all know how that turned out. We were talking about, could Deshaun do what Lamar did? Because Deshaun's athletic, but Lamar could have played wide receiver at a high level. And Kyler could probably play some type of slot position in the NFL at a high level. Deshaun's a great athlete, but he's not those guys. Those guys are different.
Yeah.
I don't think Deshaun could be a starting wide receiver like probably Lamar Jackson could have been if he went that route early on. They're different tiers of athletes, and no knock on Deshaun. He's just not those guys with the ball in his hands. He's spectacular, but these guys are nuts. And you watch Kyler run around, and I mean, it's fun to watch because he doesn't look like he should be out there because he's maybe 5'10". But he's just an elite guy, and he's been doing it since high school. I mean, they told a story, like Cliff Kingsbury, when he was looking at him as a recruit, said he was like 5'5", and he goes, oh, he just looked at him, you're not playing college football. And then he saw him actually move around and throw the football. Oh, okay, you can play.
Oh, you can play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you saw him at Allen, he could play. He could just play. Now, I am shocked because after watching him at A&M, I mean, talking with Summy, I love Summy, but goodness gracious, Summy.
Well, yeah, Kyle Allen, I mean, he's with the Washington football team, but he's a starting quarterback, too. How bad was that situation handled? You couldn't get anything out of either one of them.
I mean, unbelievable. Yeah, Kyle Allen has to come here. Kyler goes to OU. It's just, talk about, my
you
goodness.
Had both of them, and it couldn't get right with either one.
No. So I can't believe after watching him at A&M that we're talking about this. We're talking about Deshaun versus Kyler Murray.
You were way down on him, and
oh my gosh, I thought Kyler Murray. Are you kidding me? I had Oklahoma losing 8 games that year,
and then he went to go with quarterback Jesus and Lincoln Riley. Now the high school talent would say he was bound to make it as long as he got in the right situation. And now you're talking about trading the quarterback you were in love with before the draft.
Oh, my goodness. I wouldn't try. I'm asking whether or not you'd do it.
No.
I don't think I'd do it either. I don't think Kyler Murray. Now, I would love to have Kyler Murray's salary versus Deshaun's salary right now.
Yeah.
Because Deshaun's salary, I mean, Deshaun is playing really, really well, but not playing winning football. Just not. And Romeo, as a matter of fact, get that quote, Del. Romeo had a quote asked about how Deshaun's playing. And it was pretty telling. It was pretty damn telling. We'll come back with that on the other side.
I'll admit, there is some of the context around the numbers is a lot of that is coming in some of these games where, well, you're already down by 2-3 scores.
Well, not only that, it's when are you getting those yards even early in the
fourth quarter.
And what are you doing when you're getting the red zone?
Yeah, you're getting yards in the fourth quarter where teams are, well, I mean, even the Minnesota game where Will Fuller makes a catch, maybe they get to 2 and it goes in the overtime or so. That game was over, and they piled up. He piled up numbers late.
Yeah,
so there is a lot of that.
I can't remember that crappy game.
I can.
Mean, it's hard to remember all the crappy games now.
I just remember as I was looking at those numbers, saying, "Yeah, Deshaun's putting up great numbers." And then I think to myself, "Wait a minute, the Minnesota game was out of hand, and then they went down the field a couple times. And how many of those yards got picked up when the game was a 2-3 score game?"
Right, and the Tennessee game is the
out. That was different. They were in that game and had a lead and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean that was the basically Kansas City 34-20. Baltimore, you weren't in. You were in the Pittsburgh game. You weren't really in the Minnesota game,
except you didn't score any points in the second half against
Jacksonville's
Pittsburgh.
Jacksonville, take ass.
You feel good about that? What they did to Jacksonville?
Yeah,
I
feel great about beating the snot out of Jacksonville.
You were in the Pittsburgh game, except you didn't score a point in the second half.
Yeah, Well, but you had the lead at halftime, so that means something.
Yeah, it means you had to lead it halfway through the game and then didn't score again.
And then Tennessee, you lost the coin flip and it was over, and Deshaun went, oh, gosh.
He knew better. He knew what we all knew.
And then yesterday, look at him. He's got four straight games of 300 yards. How about that? Let's do it on the other side. We'll hear from Romeo Crennel about how Deshaun is playing next, right here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, y'all want to get in? Lance off today. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I got to talk about Lance Loken and the Loken Group. If you're buying a home right now, this is, by the way, it's a great time to sell your home. Great time to sell your home. So if you're looking for the best way to go about this thing, it's the Loken Group. There is the Keller Williams Platinum Group. There is no better group than the Loken Group as far as in the Keller Williams Platinum. So this is the number one in Texas. It's number two in the world. It is, I mean, Shark Tank, all of these, they only recommend Lance Loken. Barbara does. It's the number one group in Texas and number two in the world. The thing about it is that when your house is on the market, okay, you have to come down. The longer it's on the market, the more you have to come down. We're talking about in a lot of instances, there are so many instances, 16 showings, 7 offers, and they sold their home in 7 days and 7% off their list price. That's ridiculous, people. And Lance Loken will make you an immediate cash offer. You will love, when it's all said and done, you'll feel like Lance Loken. These are my best friends. I love these people because of what they're going to do for you and for your home and get you the most money for your home or find you that home because they have the biggest list of buyers that anybody has. So it becomes an auction-like system for your home, getting rid of your home. 281-861-4624. 281-861-4624 or the Loken, L-O-K-E-N, thelokengroup.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.